You can take your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And before we get to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read some verses out of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 26 states, 26 through 31. It says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men." This is the Apostle Paul speaking. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." So here we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He says, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Verse 31 of that same chapter, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul stated, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." The Apostle Paul is obviously a very commendable person. If we were to analyze the Apostle Paul's life after he was saved, if we were to analyze the Apostle Paul's life as a minister of the Lord, I don't think we would come up with very many faults on that list, although obviously he was a man and he had faults. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that there were faults that people found with the Apostle Paul. Or maybe it'd be better to say that there were people that were critical of his ministry. And it says here in verse number 11 of chapter 12, it says, "I am become a fool in glorying." He says, "Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." He says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." So among the people, the Apostle Paul showed the signs that he truly was an apostle. It says, "in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." It says that he wrought these in patience, in endurance. You know, you may think, well, it was probably easy to do those things. Well, it says he wrought them in endurance. It took endurance. It wasn't just some easy thing. But he proved himself for what he was. Verse 13, "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong." So here the Apostle Paul, he's like, the only thing really that was kept from you is that I didn't charge you. I received my support from other churches and came and ministered among you. And in a sense, he could, you know, forgive me this wrong. You know what? That's like the only thing here is I didn't take support of you. I took it from others and came to you and ministered to you the gospel of God freely. He says in verse 14, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So the Apostle Paul is coming to them. And again, he's saying, I'm not going to be burdensome to you. He's like, for the parents, you know, just as in a child-parent relationship, what's the normal expected thing? Well, the parents do what? They provide for their children. All right, so the parents are the ones that provide for their children. You know, I don't expect, Daniel to go out and provide for our household. I don't expect Bethany to go out and be the one that provides for our household. Okay, that's just, and the Apostle Paul is saying here he has a spiritual parent to these people. He is seeking to look out for their well-being. He says in verse number 15, and I will very gladly spend. He was very willing to give of his resources for the Corinthian church. But not only was he willing and gladly spend, just as a parent would gladly spend for their children. And many times a parent will gladly spend for their children, but many times a child will not what? Appreciate what has been given to them by that parent. He says, then I will very gladly spend. Then he says, and be spent for you. He was willing to exhaust himself of all his resources for the Corinthian church. And this really shows the true heart of ministry that the Apostle Paul had, and a great challenge to each one of us, that he was willing, he said he would gladly spend. He says, and be what? And be spent. Be exhausted for them. And then he says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You know, many times that's what can happen in ministry. People who you've poured your life into, they can what? The more you love them, the less they love you. And that was what was happening in the Corinthian church. You had carnal people that were living in this church. You had critical people that were a part of this church, when they should have been people that were commending the Apostle Paul. Carnal, critical, or commendable? Which one are you? He says in verse 16, but be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? So in a sense here, he's using maybe some sarcasm, we could call it, but be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, okay, so people might say, okay, you didn't burden us, but you caught us with guile. So he's speaking in a sense how they would speak to him, and you can understand that when you come to verse 17. So Paul is not saying, I caught you with guile, but in a sense, it seems what he's doing is saying what these people were saying about him, and you can see that in his response in verse number 17. He says, did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? Okay, so the Apostle Paul did not come and require finances of them. But others may have said, well, yeah, what about these other people that you sent? You know, you may have been appearing not to try to get stuff from us, but here you're sending these other people and you're doing it through them. But what does Paul say? Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? So they were unified. He was not sending these other people to try to make a gain of them and to try to be deceitful. Then he says in verse 18, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Or actually, verse 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So he says in verse 19 again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? The idea of excusing is the idea of, in a, apologetic of, that they were defending themselves. And so as the Apostle Paul is going through this passage showing that he is truly apostle, that he is truly an apostle, that he has the authority from God to do what he is doing, notice what he says. He says, we're not doing this to excuse ourselves unto you. We're not doing this just to simply defend ourselves for who we are in a selfish manner to say, well, this is who we are and this is who God says I am. But notice why he did it. Not to defend himself. But he says, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. And the purpose that the Apostle Paul is defending himself before them is not so that he can set himself upright so that they have some great image of the Apostle Paul and who he was, maybe the temptation in our own spirit to defend ourselves. But the Apostle Paul was doing it why? So that they could be edified. They were following after the opinions of these people that were seeking to pull them away from the truth. And the Apostle Paul was their connection to the truth. And what does the Word of God say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification takes place through what? Through truth. Specifically through God's truth. And the Apostle Paul was really there, was the one that administered among them. And he was defending his authority. Why? Because they, his authority and his ministry among them was for their what? Was for their edification. He says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. So when the Apostle Paul comes, he is afraid that he will come and they will not be in the state that he would want them to be. And then if they were not in the state that he would want them to be, there may be repercussions of what he would have to do to see the state corrected in which they were in. So he says, and that I should be found unto you such as ye would not. You know, when a parent leaves and comes home from a journey, you know, if that parent has given some jobs to do, maybe has given some expectations, maybe there are certain things that have been expected of the children while the parent was gone. Say it was maybe some older children. And it was for a couple, maybe it was a week or two. And the parent comes back. Well, if those things are not done, the parent, the meeting with those children is not going to be what? As pleasant as it could be if that job was done. And so the frame, the atmosphere is not going to be as pleasant for the children, and it's not going to be as pleasant for what? The parents as well. And so it's going to go both ways here. So for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. You know, how many of you would like it? Maybe it's you're an adult and your boss goes away. And you've got jobs to do. And you haven't done them. Maybe you were lazy. Well, you're not going to find the boss in the same, how you would like him to be when he comes back. And he's not going to find you as you would like him to be when he comes back. And then he says here, and that lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you. And I shall bewail many which have sinned already. Now here we have a spiritual father to these people coming and visiting them. And they're not in the state that he would wish to find them. In fact, they're living in sin. And as a father, a spiritual father to his children, finding them in such a state, he would be very what? He would be humbled because of what has taken place. Not only humble, but he says he would bewail. This would cause great grief to his heart. because of the state of sin that he would find them in when he came back. He says, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. You know, it's rather interesting here that the Corinthian church was able to find so much wrong with the Apostle Paul, but missed, so to speak, what was wrong with themselves. You know, that is what a critical spirit can do to us. We can find everything wrong with everyone else, but we miss what is wrong with ourselves. And what's that issue here? They could find everything wrong with the Apostle Paul, and we think to ourselves, the Apostle Paul, one who is void of offense, his conscience was void of offense before God. I mean, he was one who did what was right. Yes, he obviously was a man, and so there were times where he didn't measure up. But here was a man that is an example of a minister of Christ and the Word of God, and yet the Corinthian church found what? Found issues. Found problems with him. And it is a great warning to us that if we are not careful, we can develop this critical spirit and can find problems when there aren't even any problems. Now, obviously, there can be problems and there can be issues, but here the Corinthian church found problems and issues in a place where there were not problems and there were not issues. And what was it doing to them? It was driving them away from God. It was bringing them down in their sanctification because of this critical spirit that was among them. And what went along with this critical spirit that was among them? Well, we find that there was also a level of carnality that was involved. Fornication, lasciviousness. These sins of the flesh were also sins that were in the church. And it seems so odd, but yet here's a church that he's saying have not repented of the uncleanness. He feared that this had not been repented of. Their uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness. And yet they were what? They were finding issues with the Apostle Paul. It was a church that he was fearing that there could be debates, envyings, strifes, debates, quarrels, contention, envying, jealousy. In James chapter 3 and verse number 16, notice what the Bible says about envying. James 3:16. Well, let's begin in verse 15. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is something that is earthly, sensual, then it says devilish. You can't get much worse than that characteristic of something. Obviously, something that's abomination, but this is devilish. It says, verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and what? And every evil work. You know, in Proverbs it says, who can what? Who can stand before envy? You know, I wonder, is there envy in your heart tonight? You know, that is going to hinder you from going forward in your walk with God. You're envious of what somebody else has. You're envious of the place. You're envious of the position. You're envious of something that somebody else has. Maybe there's some jealousy there in your heart. Watch out. It can destroy your life. So there was envy. There was wrath. There was anger between contending factions. There was strife. You know, the strife, there's maybe factions in the church, and you don't get along with a certain group. There's contention. You know, there are certain people that you kind of steer clear of because you can't really get along with them. Well, that doesn't have place in the local church. Backbiting, you know, talking against someone else. Whisperings, you know, slandering someone else. You know, whispering, just that kind of quiet talk. You know, if there's certain talk that, so to speak, you have to be quiet about because you don't want other people to hear what you're saying about somebody else. You know, if there's certain talk that you wouldn't say if maybe the deacon wasn't around, or if the deacon was around, or the pastor was around, or, you know, someone else in the church, you know, if you're whispering like that, well, then it doesn't have place in the local church. Swellings. The idea of swelling. Inflation. It's the idea of pride. You know, if you're, you know, his bubble needs to be popped. You know, haughtiness. What does pride bring? Well, only by what? Pride cometh contention. You know, when somebody's bubble needs to be popped, why does it need to be popped? Well, all that's in there is a bunch of what? Bunch of air. For some people, it might be a bunch of hot air. But anyways, you know, we have to be careful of these things. Tumults, you know, disorder. This person wants it this way. This person thinks it should be another way. Well, this what? It's signs of what? Signs of carnality. You know, do we want critical, carnal, critical, or commendable? And the Corinthian church here had some carnality in it. The Corinthian church had some critical spirit in it. That even in the life of the Apostle Paul, they found fault. We find they overlooked the proof of his ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, patience, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." You know, what's part of the warning? Well, in verse 6 it says, verse 5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." It says in verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." You know, we need to have what? We need to have the right testimony of who we clearly are. And the Apostle Paul did have that testimony, but yet the what? The Corinthian church missed it. And what does the devil want to do? Well, he wants to... We have to understand the deceptive nature of the enemy. He wants to have a critical attitude towards righteousness and a what? And an accepting attitude towards sin. You know, and then the Corinthian church... He wanted them, you know, the devil doesn't mind if sin comes in the church, but he does mind if righteousness comes in. And you know, he can use a critical attitude, a critical spirit in our hearts. You know, young people, he can use a critical attitude in your heart towards your mom or dad to get you to what? To turn away from the truth. And the very people that have spent, that have given, that have selflessly sacrificed in your behalf, the devil wants you to what? To find fault with them. You know, have you ever had a parent, you know, who bought your clothes? Who put the food on the table? Who sacrificed to put you through school? Who prayed for you? You know, who woke up in the middle of the night to care for you? Who paid your medical bills? Who did all these things for you? But yet many times young people develop a critical attitude in their hearts towards their parents. They'll find something wrong with them. Why? Because the devil wants you to turn away from righteousness and be accepting towards sin. And you'll turn away from all those things so you can accept what some friend says that will depart from you whenever they feel like it, pretty much. The devil wants to use that critical spirit to get us to turn away from righteousness, and he was using it in the Corinthian church. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect example, but yet the what? The world found much wrong with him. They found enough wrong with him that they crucified him. You know, the devil can always find something wrong with righteousness. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect example. And yet what? They crucified him. Here we find the Apostle Paul, a great example of a minister who gave himself, who gladly spent, who gladly was, who was willing to exhaust himself for these people. But yet they willingly what? Were critical of who he was. You know, and that is what the devil can do in our lives tonight. Do you understand the deceptive nature that the devil is seeking to use? Are you critical, or do you see the love and sacrifices of others for your soul? Now, if you would start living a commending life rather than a critical life, it would change your attitude and outlook on things. You know, it might change the response as well of others towards you. People can develop a bitter spirit. Why? Because they're critical instead of commending. And here the people in Corinth should have been commending the Apostle Paul for what he had done in their midst. But yet the Apostle Paul says, I'm a fool in glory. The Apostle Paul, this wasn't something that he was looking to do. The only reason he was doing it was not to build himself up, but the reason he was doing it was for their edification. You know, the purpose of ministry is edification. You know, sometimes we can have the attitude of, well, I'm just not going to say anything. And if they want to think that, they can think that. You know, in some ways we can say that, and I think I've said that before, and we can almost say it in a selfish type of manner. You know, well, if they want to think that about me, they can think that about me. You know, but sometimes there is a place for the purpose of edification to correct what is wrong. Now, obviously, I'm not saying we just go about and we have to be careful, but here in the Apostle Paul's ministry, he recognized that, you know what? This information needs to be corrected. Not to build up myself, but because these people need to understand who God has placed over them. And you know what? Sometimes it is necessary for that false information to be corrected so that edification can take place. And so sometimes we need to be willing to do something that is not easy, that's difficult. And if you read through these this passage in Corinthians, you find it was not easy for the Apostle Paul. He didn't want to have to do this. He didn't want to have to say some of these things because he was a humble man. But he found it necessary. He was compelled to do it for the sake of the edification of the believers that he was ministering to. You know, sometimes parents, you may have to stand up and say, you know what? I'm your parent. And this is why I'm your parent. And this is the job that God has placed over me. And you know what? I'm not doing it because I'm trying to lift myself up, but I'm doing it because I'm trying to build you up. And because I love you. You know, the greatest hindrance to edification is selfishness. You know, the Apostle Paul was a very selfless man. We read how he was willing to spend and he was willing to be spent. We find, though, that an enemy of edification is selfishness. And a couple of passages we're going to look at quickly here. Romans chapter 14. In verse number 19, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. You know, are you careful in what you allow yourself to be a part of because you are concerned for the spiritual edification and well-being of someone else? Edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You know, selfishness is the great enemy of edification. And if we're going to see one another built up in the faith, we're going to have to cast aside our own selfish ambitions. We're going to have to make the glory of God. We're going to have to make the building up of others as our goal in life. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about edification. We find here that the gifts of leadership that God has put in the church, the leaders that He has put in the church, what's it for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we find here that God gives these gifts so they can perfect the saints, so the saints can what? So that the body can be built up. Verse number 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of some parts, every part maketh what? Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every single part has a important part in what? In edification. Now I wonder tonight, are you involved in that edification of the body? Are you playing the role that God has for you in building up this body that God has placed here? Or are you allowing selfishness to keep you from the edification that God wants to take place? The Apostle Paul says, or the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, he says, knowledge puffeth up, but what? But charity edifieth. Are we willing to have that selfless love that is going to build others up? Or are we looking out for ourselves? Charity edifies. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. To think that even our words, that God's grace can be channeled through the very words that we speak, that others can what? Can be built up in the faith. You know, that can be challenging. It can be easy to say words that are going to tear others down. You know, the envyings, the strife, the backbitings, the whisperings, the different things. But God wants our communication to be that which would edify and build others up. You know, I wonder tonight, if we had to take a little look at our lives, is it carnal? Is it critical? Is it commendable? Do we have a commending spirit? Are we looking not to find fault, but are we looking to build others up? Are we looking not to look for an excuse? And that's really, I guess, maybe instead of looking to find fault, but are we looking for an excuse in others so that we can do wrong ourselves? are we looking for ways that we can please God and build others up in the faith? Tonight in your own life, which spirit would characterize your life and your heart tonight? And who is most important to you? Is it that others would be built up in the faith? Or is it that you would have your own nature, your own desires satisfied? The Apostle Paul was willing to spend and be spent. And his chief object in those believers was that they would be edified and that they would be built up. You know, is that the same heartbeat that we have tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to guard our hearts. Lord, to guard ourselves from those wrong attitudes that the devil would love to take control of our hearts so that we would develop the wrong attitudes towards the messengers that God has placed in our lives to deliver the truth to us and to direct us in your ways. And Lord, I pray for that you would help us to be the right examples of messengers of truth. And Lord, to have that persevering attitude that the Apostle Paul had, to have that servant's heart that he had. Lord, we pray that you would guard our heart from selfishness so that we can see others built up. Lord, so that our families can be built up. Wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, first question, which we didn't really preach on this tonight, but it's important, is, are you saved? Is the Lord working in your heart? In the area of salvation, is there anyone tonight that would say, you know, Pastor John, Lord, speak to my heart about my need of salvation? Is there anyone like that tonight? I wonder tonight, carnality or a critical spirit, do you find those in your heart tonight? And is God convicting you of that? Maybe God's showing you that the reason that you have that critical spirit is because you're seeking to find a fault so that you can have your own excuse to do wrong. And the problem is that it's hindering you. Maybe tonight you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord's convicted me maybe of a critical spirit, or maybe it's some area of carnality that God has opened your eyes to tonight, and you say, you know what, I want to get that taken care of with the Lord tonight. Is there anyone like that to you? The Lord has worked in your heart. All right, is there anyone else tonight? Lord's working your life in that area. I wonder tonight, what about the area of edification? Is that the purpose of your life? Or have you allowed selfishness to get in the way? You know, are you more concerned about satisfying your desires or seeing others built up? You know, it may mean that you need to say no to certain things in your life. You know, moms, dads, are there things in your home that are not building your home up? Maybe are there attitudes that are not building your home up? But what about this church? Are there things that have crept in, areas of selfishness, that you've been more concerned with yourself rather than the edification of someone else? And the Lord's worked in your heart about an area maybe of selfishness tonight that is hindering the edification of others. Is anyone like that tonight? Lord's working in your heart in the area of selfishness that's hindering edification from taking place in your heart? All right, is there anyone else tonight? Lord's working in your life in that area. You know, sometimes we can get defensive, but why are we defensive? Are we defensive because we're selfish? Are we defensive? Or are we seeking to really edify and build up others? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would help us to consider these truths tonight. Lord, I pray that young people, Lord, the authorities that you've placed over them, that they would not have a critical spirit towards them. But instead, Lord, they would see the sacrifices that have been made on their behalf. And Lord, many of them are probably don't understand maybe the weight of this truth in their hearts. But Lord, I pray that they would grab a hold of it and that you would impress this truth upon them, Lord, because it could keep them from going the wrong direction. And we pray these things. In Christ's name, amen.